Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. If you recently discovered this podcast, welcome. Every week I'm joined by amazing high achievers who you may or may not have heard of before, but you'll be glad that you did. This week, I'm joined by the incredibly funny Nathan Bryan. Nathan is a writer and actor. He's best known to viewers for his role as regular character Jamie in Some Girls and Ben Adorm's Joey. Nathan has written for critically acclaimed CBeebies cartoon Rastamouse, BAFTA award-winning Swashbuckle, and The Apple Tree House. Nathan currently has his cartoon series Afro Kid, and he recently nabbed a 3-book deal on his ButcherBix series due to hit shelves in 2019. In this episode, you'll find out how to handle losing a job, how to start a project with no money, and why it's important you pay your crew. Nathan is a hoot, but keep your headphones on as we swear quite a bit in this one. Sorry. There's so many great parts of your story that I just love. Like, Thanks. The fact that you are willing to invest it all at times. Do you not ever get apprehensive about throwing like all your money into one thing? Do you not have like, do you have a backup plan or a contingency,
no,
a safety net?
None.
Like, oh crap, if I can't, what? Do you never have those, oh shit, I might not be able to pay rent?
Yeah, of course. Like last
year. So what
do you
do?
Listen, last year I had this really terrible moment where, what happened? I've actually told no one this, bar my girlfriend at the time, because she saw my trill days. But basically, when we were doing a TV show, you get paid quite a lot of money, which is great.
Nice.
But obviously, when it's new to your life, you just start stunting, innit? You start living a little life.
Making it rain.
Like, do you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, like, I'm not getting that much money. Like, if you compare it to anyone else, I'm getting jack shit. But in my world,
that's a lot.
So I was like, so you know, I moved out of home a couple of years back and moved into this really swanky pad, weirdly, in Battersea, which was nice.
Oh, sorry, Battersea.
Yeah, it was nice, but I couldn't afford to live there. So I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Because also, I wanted to, you know, and I was just basically, I went out of home being like, oh, you know, I'm going to do it. And long story short, I said, I met these filmmakers called Marley and Michelle, who are amazing, and they sent me a script. And I said this thing, I was like, you know what, if I'm doing any more short films, yeah, I want to be the lead role. That's it. I won't do nothing else. I want to try and focus on that. And then they sent the script. And then I was just super gassed on the script and them. That I was like, I'll give you $2,000 to make it.
Oh, my God. So you invested in someone else's production?
Because they were giving me the lead role.
Sure.
And they were giving me a producer.
It's like paying you to be your own, the lead.
But it's done really well. It's in the London Short Film Festival next month, and it's doing really super well, which is great. But, so this is where it got peak in it, and they were super humble and lovely.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I'm going to give you $2,000, bow, we're going to make this movie, bow, bow, thinking I was a big G, yeah. Cut two, it's like flipping December now, coming up to tax, and I'm looking at my bank, I don't got that 2G, boy. I don't got it. I don't have it. And if I give it to you, I won't have money. Like,
yeah.
I've just done this all wrong. And I'm sat in this flat with my girlfriend, which is all swanky with my broke ass, sweating, like, what the fuck have I done? How am I going to tell them? Maybe I'll just air their calls. Da, 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 da. And then I was like, no, just be honest. Be honest. So in the end, I gave him $1,500, but I gave him $1,000 up front, and then I gave the half later.
I mean, that's still very, very generous and
for
basically
me,
damn close to what you
promised. But still, at the same time, it was like, you know, that was, you were talking of, do you not never worry about paying your rent? Fuck yeah, I do. But I've always believed that if you don't back your own horse, how, like, that's why you're doing this, like, we're doing Amen. This, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you don't back you, who the fuck is going to back you?
This is something that has come up time and time again for us, for me in particular, because the thing is, I've never, before starting the Shout Network, before even doing this podcast, like, I've never really put money besides into my education, which I feel like everyone, it's not unrealistic. That's kind of expected that you back your education.
Yes.
Everyone expects that. So prior to that, there was me, I was just living my life, working full time, standard 9-to-5 life. And then it just became really unsatisfying. And it got to a point where actually I saw, actually it was mostly FA. He started buying stuff. He was really investing in equipment. I was like, what, that's amazing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I was lost. It was really unfamiliar to me because I hadn't really seen that before. Like at least around my life or in my family in that same way. And like over time it became a habit to me. Like if I want to do something, then why am I waiting for like the BBC to come and ask me to commission me to do audio work when we could just do it? Like, just do it and see what happens.
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely can get behind the idea that, you know what, sometimes it's going to take money to like get your dreams off the ground. If you want to create something, you have to spend the money for it. But there is that, the other side, that there are people that don't have the resources.
And I didn't for a while, do you know what I'm saying? And I think there's
So how do you then go about even saving up? So you know, roughly in your head, okay, I want to create this particular short or this sketch.
Yeah.
And I can't really afford to pay nobody. How do you then like get people on board and then essentially find enough money to get that off the ground? Do you just work any job, or do jobs just suddenly, like, you know, you need to raise 2K, like,
this is
suddenly opportunities start coming at you?
Yeah, but this is why artists are the greatest people in the world. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. We're fucking great.
You are so Kanye Westing right now.
Yeah. I actually watch his videos on my own, fam. They start my day. I'll go on Kanye West. Yeah, literally. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it ends up bad.
I eat Kanye for breakfast.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Lunch, I literally do DJ Khaled videos, all of them. I just sit there and I just take it all in. Because I feel like whilst they're obviously multi-millionaires, they've all had the same struggle that we're talking of, and I think, look,
scarcity.
Yeah, it's true, and we're making films. We try to pay our crew.
Yeah,
tiny money, not even real money, fake money. It's like it's a joke of
like
a man.
Fake dues.
Yeah, it's what we pay them. Poor, but that's all. When
it's,
I say
what,
like,
you can afford, right?
It's nothing. It's like a day fee.
Yeah,
because these people are incredibly talented and they work on high level productions around. So I'm literally begging friend.
Yeah.
So now it's different, but before, you know, we were just trill. Like that, you find people who want to do the same things you want to do. So,
absolutely.
And how do you find those people?
How do you
go to film events. So I was interested in making films. So I went to film events, and then I would get drunk, and I would meet other people who got drunk and uncomfortable, and then we spoke, and then we exchanged eats, and then we go have coffees, and then we keep making art. Well, my thing is, and me and Tree got to that place last year, but we were like, it cost us $5,000 to make a film, and we don't have fuck all. Like, we've spent all our money. Mm. And think, after you've made a film, festivals cost £1,000. So
what?
Yeah, to enter your film into festivals around the world, right? These festivals can say no.
Right.
But you've paid £50 for them to just look at your work.
That's nuts.
So you spent, so I've just spent £1,000 entering reality around the world. We got into, we were screened in Rome last week.
Congratulations.
And then, yeah, which was dope. Well, and then done. And then we got swerved in India. So it was just like a real like, but you pay £75 to do it. So you're just like, bro, that's a whole day of my life. Like, I've just given to a website for nothing.
Yeah.
For just air. To be in with a chance to win it, which is wild.
Getting people to get in with you, but I mean, ultimately, you're right. People are drawn to a cause and drawn to the same missions as you. If you have a really clear message about what you're creating, people will come.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people underestimate how easy it is to get people that look at your vision and wider mission and see how they fit into that.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I believe that you're going to make this happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, because I believe you're going to make this happen, I want to be a part of that journey because for me, I can see myself doing X, Y, and Z. And funnily enough, I've had so many people come through this network actually who have gone on to do amazing, amazing things and are doing amazing things as a result of doing work with us.
Like
the names that they've been able to attach themselves to as a result of being here.
Amazing.
I've never been able to pay them one penny, but because they want to go freelance at some point, they can say, oh, I've worked with this company who they probably would never have had that opportunity with before.
Exactly.
And so I think in a lot of ways, when it comes to trying to get people to work with you and you don't have the resources, being very transparent about that is so key.
Be honest. People are shady.
People will finesse you and say that they can do X, Y, and Z. And it's like the cold hard reality is, they can't.
Be honest.
And then also, you need to be able to sell yourself and your dream. If you believe that it's going to be big, then you need to be able to sell that. But don't be unrealistic, but sell it to the point that says, you know what? These are the opportunities that I can realistically give to you if you're part of this.
Yeah.
This is where I'm planning to take this if you are part of this. This is where it can go if you are part of this.
Yeah, but be humble with it because there's all these cats that are like, oh, you know, you'll get loads of visibility and it's like, I can't eat that.
The visibility is a trash argument. Like, I look at the experience. So whenever someone comes to volunteer for us, I always say, what do you want to get out of this? What is it that you want? I will not feel comfortable asking you to do anything for me if I don't feel like you're going to reach your end goal.
Perfect.
I have had that conversation with everyone. Like, where do you see yourself being? Like, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to be a conference producer for yourself? Do you want to be an editorial person for yourself? Do you want to be a digital content? Like, what do you see yourself doing? Because if I can get you there, I'll be honest with you I'll help.
Yeah.
I'll put you in touch with people. I'll connect you where I can, where the opportunity presents itself. 100. But if I don't see myself being able to help you, I'm not going to ask you to help me.
And also I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. You'll just be around being weird.
And then it will just be resentful. And I definitely hear that. It's tough out here, but...
And also be ready to fail. Sorry, that was the last thing.
Oh, that's good.
And by fail, I don't mean fail. Like, I've never failed, but I've made some bad films, man. Like some sketches that are just so skirt. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll look through some of them and just be like, what the fuck?
What were you thinking?
But you know what? I'm so proud that I did it. I shared it. I don't care.
Yeah, I think that's good. You have to share the work that
it's where you have
to show it's the good and the bad. Yeah. Some people only like to show the highlight reel. And I think that's really disingenuous to some extent. I get why people do it that way and it makes perfect sense, but then it kind of gives a lot of young people, especially who look up to you, because the thing is I know that there are young people looking up to the work that we're doing right now and thinking, nah, I want to go work in film, I want to be on this TV show, I want to be a podcaster that's here, and I'm like, if I don't let...
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
You know what this was like, then you're gonna get to thinking that it was just easy for me.
Hey, but if that's how it wasn't, but if you, I mean, the highlight reel thing, I get, I'm the opposite of the highlight reel. I'm gonna be like,
I have a lot. I don't do it on online as much, but I've definitely had coffees with people who have asked for advice, even up until like a few days ago. I had coffee with someone. She's like, I want to start a podcast. And I was like, okay, well, have you thought about this? And I think she got like brain tired afterwards. I was just like, there are so many things that I've learned in the past 2 years. Yeah. And I just dumped that on her. Like,
good.
And I was like, I hope that doesn't dissuade you, but I just want you to recognize like,
it's hard.
That is hard. It's worth it.
Yeah.
But just know what you're going into.
Yeah.
Because it took me a long time to get to what I can share with you now.
Yeah.
So I feel like ultimately everything I do is so that someone else can have an easier time doing it.
Yeah,
later.
Good. And that's exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Are you mentoring anyone right now?
No, I want to. I've always wanted to.
So you're open to mentors.
Yeah.
Note to listeners. So can you share a time that you felt like you really wanted to quit, or you were on the verge of quitting, and what did you do to overcome that?
Okay, so it was deep. I'm trying to work out. Okay, so I was on a show called Some Girls for 3 years, which was cool.
And my sister loved that show.
It was a great show. Bernadette Davis, Adelaide, just legends. Alice, who's in Boss Man, legends. And Colin Salmon, legend. Dolly Wells. Anyway, they're all legends. Anyway,
everyone's a legend.
I was a legend. I love them all. Anyway, so long story short, it's Teresa's birthday, and I'm going to go meet her and her mom and her friends. And I'm with my best friend on the train, and I'm just going through my emails, as freelancers do, looking for work opportunities. And I get this email come up, and I'm like, oh. And it's from the producer of the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, she's emailed me, like, all right.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, she's emailed to be like, basically BBC Three have cut our budgets and we can't have you for the third season.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the train and like instantly my eyes filled up. And like, remember, I'm a tiny part on the show.
Yeah.
But before getting that job, I'd done bare auditions, bare. And I'd done other stuff, but that was my first TV regular, semi-regular role. And I saw it and I was like, that's it, isn't it? That's like, because that was the thing that like, got me working with, do you know what I mean? It was just my first TV gig, and to lose that opportunity that I worked so hard for via email. Remember, and also,
that's rough.
Via email, and then to have to go to your girlfriend's birthday with a smile on your face, have to tell your parents who were, you know, concerned anyway that you wanted to be an actor, that you've lost it was like, oh. And then having to tell all these people who are asking, are you doing it again? Are you doing it again?
Long story short,
I did do an episode of Series 3 because of Colin Salmon. I will say no more, but and probably the rest of them, because they're all great. But Colin Salmon really fought for me, and I love that man.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That must have been so hard.
It was horrible, but, you know, now being, like, what, 4 or 5 years later, I get it. That's what happens. Like, there's no malice in it. Like, no one would have wanted to have done it. No one would have been like, oh, can't wait to go. It's just...
How did you even get to that point of realization that you are now, for example? That, you know, it wasn't malicious, but I guess in that moment, it must have just felt so personal.
Of course, because in that moment, that's all you have. That's literally, like, you know... The show, and also the show, like... with the most respect, my role was small anyway.
Yeah.
So I was holding on to something real small, and that was my first step on the ladder. And other things were going well at the time, but to lose that step and then not even have any idea how, you know, what else was out there was like, it just felt embarrassing. I felt ashamed. I felt really ashamed and lonely because obviously I knew they were shooting another series and everyone off... else was going to be doing it, having loads of fun, and that's the dream. And to lose it was just really heartbreaking. But years later, I go, funny thing is, I still get repeat fees. So,
what's repeat fees?
Repeat fees. So, when the show goes back on telly, you get another check.
What? Yeah, like a royalty?
Royalty like that. So,
that's so cool.
And they've paid me loads from that. So, A, financially, they never did me a wrong. And then B, all those producers and stuff, who creative team who made the show, have always been very kind, sweet, blessed to me. If I've ever asked to have a coffee with them or talk to them about my ideas, they've always been very open to that. Like, it's just an unfortunate thing to have to happen, but it happens every single day in our industry, and I am no different. But that was like a real sad point.
So when you got some girls, and even Benidorm as well, did you have an agent at this point?
Yeah, I've had the same agent since I was 18, I think.
How'd you get an agent?
I got an agent. Oh, another story, blagging. Right, so I don't know. I think at school I was into drama, but I was a bit shit because I couldn't remember my lines. And I failed drama, actually. I got an E.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I failed drama, yeah. I know. I mean, it's
I'm
fine.
Such a high achiever in life. Yeah, that just, I mean,
no, but get yours. Yeah, but for me, it wasn't even... I failed it and was like, well, it's deep. But it didn't dent my confidence in drama.
That's
I was like,
good.
Of course it's dumb anyway. Fuck this shit. You know what I mean? These people are dumb. They clearly don't get it, whatever. But obviously, I was also not taking it fully seriously. Long story short, we had a lesson about agents, but the teacher was basically being like, and I do love the teacher, but she was basically saying like, oh, like you don't really need one now. Like you just hustle, just be in little plays. Do you know what I mean? Be like, whatever. I was like, side-eye skiing. And so I go on Google, and I was like, how do you get an agent? They were like, buy this Spotlight book. It's got all the agencies on it. Bought the book. And I was working as an usher at a theatre.
Is that still a thing?
Spotlight's a thing. It's got every single agent, every single recording studio, every single, all in one book. And it's about £14. And I mean, I guess there's internet databases now, which I don't know if you need it, but at that time it was great. Then I made a CV on my own, printed them all off at school for free, got my girlfriend's mum to take some headshots of me. No, my mum took headshots of me, right?
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Is your mum a photographer?
No, is my mum a photographer. She ain't a damn photographer. Boy, those photos were murked. And then my ex-girlfriend's mum printed off all the photos at her work. And then I made this little package and I sent 30 letters out.
This is so entrepreneurial and enterprising of you.
Yeah, I was a youth. Like, but obviously, don't get me wrong, I'm saying all this stuff. I was probably doing loads of dumb shit as well. Like,
no,
do you know what I
mean? I'd
found something I was really excited by. And I was like, well, yeah. So anyway, long story short, a week passes, don't hear nothing from any of them.
Yeah.
And that's all my week's money gone. I ain't got a penny left.
Where did you even get money from at school?
No, because I was working at a theatre at 16.
Oh, okay,
so,
you were an usher, you were saying.
Yeah, so I was doing like three shifts a week, earning about 60 quid a week, and I've rinsed £60 on that.
That sounds like the money I made from my paper round.
Yeah, it's paper round money, isn't it? It's like, it's lot, boy, at the time. You're
I know,
like,
I bought my first phone with that. I was very gassed.
And you're gassed, fam. You're like, wow, I earned some. But so I sent it all out. Next day, get a call from an agent, and she's like, oh, we'd love you to come in and talk to us. And that was it.
It just seems like it kind of came naturally to you to just, one, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Is that something like a core value that you got from someone in your family? Did you see that? Or like, what makes you just go out and spend? Because I would never. I could never. That's not a trait I ever had.
Yeah.
So I'm so curious as to where that initially comes from.
I'm impatient. So it means that I'd get bored of waiting for people to do things. So if you ask for everyone to do things for free, you can't moan when they don't do it. Whereas
absolutely.
Even if you give someone 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 800 pounds, they agree to do that for that, then the work has to come at a time. And it did. And I've worked with like loads of freelance artists who I've always paid. I've never asked artists really to do it for free because there was nothing in it for them. It was all... Obviously, there might have been something for them, but for me, it was like my thing. My dad's always been like, my dad's got this one thing where he's like, no one cares.
Yeah.
He's like, no one really cares if you do it or don't do it. He's like, just do it for you. Because I don't, like, you know, I don't care. And I always just was like, okay.
That's so glib almost.
Yeah,
like,
it's so glim. It's so glim.
I was like, my dad is a bit like that in a lot of ways, in that he would just say, you know, well, life's not fair.
Yeah.
It's just so like, just well, it's not fair.
Just
so,
get over it.
Because I'll be like, oh my God, that's not fair. Like, that was our biggest complaint as kids. Like, that's not fair. And he's like, life's not fair.
That's not fair. Get over it. Duh.
Yeah.
And that's literally when I told my parents about losing the role. They were just like, deep. Well, what are you going to do now? Like in a supporting way, mind. Because they always supported me. They always gave me like some money for lunch or travel when I was seriously broke, which weren't even that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, three, 4 years ago, but broke as a joke.
I know those feelings so
Like 2 bottles of wine in Stockwell for a fiver.
That sounds decent. You need to tell me where that shop's at.
No, no, because now I would never drink it because I remember tasting. I was like, this shit is vinegar with like pink.
Is it the white wine?
Because no, it's rosé. It was rosé.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. Why would you?
Just, yeah, because that's all we had. Like me and my, we had to get 2.50 each, right? Buy this wine, get turned up, and then go clubbing.
Because you can't afford to drink in the club. No, no, those feelings.
So it was just like, ugh, I'm not about that.
Okay, so in a position where you're losing, where you felt like you were losing everything,
mm-hmm.
and I can, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. I know I can relate to that feeling of, and taking it personally, actually, in a lot of ways. So what was ultimately like one action that you took to essentially change how you felt about that situation and overcome that feeling of, I mean, I know ultimately someone came, like Colin swooped in and kind of recovered that situation, but what did you do? What was an action you took to kind of get over that in the immediate or overcome
ages,
that?
To ages. I felt shit for ages. And also as an actor, you're an insecure, well, I'm insecure as an actor about acting. So losing a job just only adds on top of that.
Yeah.
So then what we did, I think, was just make a short for the internet.
So you took that pain.
Yeah.
And created.
Yeah, I think we made a film called You Troll, right? Which was my first piece of drama that I wrote, which I'm not in because I was probably feeling real insecure. Also, I'm not very good at drama and my friend Isaac's better. And I wrote some monologue and that was the first time me and Tree had co-collaborated, I'd say. Because we'd done loads of other little things, but this was that. And yeah, we made a film and it screened at BAFTA and it was rad.
That's awesome. It's screened at BAFTA. How did that happen?
In the Triforce Film Festival. So it got into it and didn't, I think it did some others. But again, those are the times where we didn't have money to enter into film festivals anyway. So I spent like £12 trying to enter into Triforce. And it got in. So it was rad. So from that email, and my dad's the sort of man where it's like, and I'm quite proud. So when I got that L, I was like, oh, okay. We need something.
Wait, are you the kind of person that's like, well, I'll show you then?
No. It's not out of, I mean, maybe in my subconscious. Maybe when I get some BAFTAs, some people go get cussed. No, I promise you not. I'm 100% not like that. Because I also don't care. I understand that it's not malice. And one day I might have to do it because I plan to have my own TV shows and films and stuff like that. So
it's not easy to.
No. And these people, it's not that
they
deep.
Still gave you the opportunity ultimately.
Yeah, they put me there. Do you know what I mean? So I love them. I love them.
Yeah. One of my best friends from uni said to me, she's like, I don't care what happens to me. And the fact that I'm working, I'm earning a very good wage right now. And as bad as the company was, she hated that company so much. As bad as it was, she will walk away, happily walk away or be forced to leave. But she walks away. She was like, I'll happily walk away, but I'll always be gracious because they gave me the opportunity that I would never have had anywhere else.
Do you know what I mean? You just have to accept that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to be. What are you going to be upset about? I'm never going to work with them again. They don't care. Do you know what I mean? They're not out here being like, oh, is he going to work with us again? He don't care. Do you know what I mean? Just carry on. Be nice. And, you know, I'm sure I'll work with those great people again at some point because you try your best to maintain relationships. I did tell them I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I was being honest and I was being true and it's all love.
Yeah, that's good though. I think ultimately you ended up kind of back.
Yeah, it's fine.
And it was fine.
It's fine.
I'm just trying to like extract the action from it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't answer that.
Yes, so like, would you say just go and create the thing that you want to create?
Remember, you're an artist, right? So you're an artist. So I was saying this to my mate the other night, like you have to take the industry and your art as two separate things. So if you're an artist, your job is to create art however you interpret that word. And in doing that, you will find some love back in. So see how the industry might have just given you a little slap. If you go create your art in your own time and sharing in your own space within your own finances, whether that be sharing a photo you took on Facebook or a film on YouTube or doing a monologue in front of a crowd at an open mic night, like whatever that is your artistry, just go and do that. Like when once you got that L and they're like, yeah, we don't want you and you're not going to get paid that. And you're like, you have, you know, be mad, have a little cry, bitch out, do you know what I mean? Tell people like, oh, fuck them. And then after you've done all that, because nothing, if you keep doing that forever, it's going to be peak for you, then go and make some cool art and go and share it. And perfect. It doesn't matter if no one sees it. So just go and make something.
That's amazing advice. Oh. That is amazing advice. Honestly, that's amazing advice.
Thanks.
I love that because that's essentially what I've done my whole time, my whole life. Every time I've faced, I mean, I definitely have a bit of a screw you, I'm going to show you type vibe to when I start it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I fall in love with what I was doing in the first place. And it becomes less about the person and more about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and why I started it in the first place. Because ultimately, like, that negativity and that sadness doesn't fuel you. It kind of empties you out.
It's ugly. Like, no one cares, bruv. They don't.
Like, no one cares.
I'm sad. I don't want to do anything. Everyone's like, no one cares.
Get over it.
Yeah,
already.
Get over it is like the best saying. Get over it. No one cares. Make something. Then we'll care again.
Yeah.
Once you've made something positive, I'm going to care.
It's a showing, it's a sign that you're doing something beyond being a martyr.
Yeah.
So, no, I love that advice. That's great. He's such a hoot. And you can follow Nathan on Twitter at Nathan Bryan. That's NathanBryon. Check out his insanely funny web series, hashtag reality on YouTube, or visit realitywebseries.com. On Wednesday's episode, we'll be talking about some of the challenges of working with a partner, how to pitch a TV show, and how to find anyone's email address, and why you should be more audacious. If you like this podcast, check out the Shoutout Network by visiting shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. To get extended show notes listing the tools and resources we've talked about on this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. Show notes are updated on Wednesday. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.